This episode is brought to you by Windrose Recovery, a family of premier addiction treatment programs in southeastern Wisconsin. Privately owned, Windrose Recovery offers a full continuum of personalized care for those struggling with addiction, including the Manor for residential treatment, Midwest Detox for inpatient detoxification, and Windrose Counseling for outpatient treatment. With highly personalized treatment focused on trauma, Dr. Chantel Thomas and her expert team offer an authentic experience, creating the kind of deep emotional change that's crucial for long-term recovery. If you or someone you love is struggling with addiction, call Windrose Recovery at 414-409-5300. You can learn more about Windrose Recovery by clicking the link in the show notes or by visiting WindroseRecovery.com. Thank you for listening to The Path to Authenticity. My name's Tom Gentry. I think of the show as the opposite of small talk. You'll hear real conversations with real people who know who they are. We talk about what makes them who they are, how they became who they are, and how we might become truer expressions of who we are. Live on the road.
I am Safat Kagan, and this is The Path to Authenticity.
Nowhere to run, nothing to hide from the government's prying eye. Take yourself a summer holiday.
The Path to Authenticity proudly supports the I Speak Media Foundation, advancing media literacy education through an evolving series of outreach programs within the communities that need it most. For more information, visit ispeakmedia.org. Your first time here, thanks for checking it out. If not, thanks for coming back. I'm Tom Gentry, and this is The Path to Authenticity. Episode 124 for May 18th, 2021. This episode features the first of a two-part conversation with the fine art photographer Safa Kagan, who has a new project that she has undertaken since the onset of the pandemic. Really exciting stuff. And it was a pleasure to hear her enthusiasm about this. She's such a creative soul. You know, one of the things that I love most about doing this podcast is that it gives me the opportunity, you know, I have an excuse to just go talk to people. And she was a guest on a couple episodes this time last year. I've gotten the opportunity to get to know her, and she's just my kind of people. She's definitely become a friend. And this episode, these two episodes, came together pretty quickly. We'd been messaging each other over the course of a week or so, and I asked her to come on to talk about what she's calling her escape vortex, which you're going to hear all about. And it just so happened I had a cancellation, so I had time, she had time, and we got it together, and here you go. So this is it, the first of two episodes with Safa Kagan.
Nowhere to run, nothing to hide from the government's prying eye. Take yourself a summer holiday.
Construction going on last time we did this.
Oh, you know what it was? It was something was going on with they had a like a roll off dumpster back behind. That's what it was, and people.
How appropriate,
somebody
right?
was power washing the dumpster. That's what was happening. That's right. Man, you have a good memory.
It's a good cleanse.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
I was like, yeah, that was not an Amtrak. It was the power washing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. So now I have in what's my son's bedroom, there's a walk-in closet that I, after, you know, during the shutdown, ripped everything out of it, moved everything out of it, and turned it into a little studio. Yeah.
It's his escape vortex, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, he thinks it's pretty cool. He's a singer, and once he saw the mic setup and everything I had, I was like, man, I can record you anytime you want, you know? I've gotten some pretty cool Very stuff. Cool. So it's, yeah, and I've gotten some better equipment. Things are, definitely a little bit better on that front than they were the last time we spoke. So the last time we spoke was just a couple months into this mess where you were just getting settled at home and probably really starting to get stir crazy and had to put your mm-hmm. photography work on hold because the stuff you do entails a lot of travel. And you're probably getting pretty stir crazy about that time, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I started getting into everything that I didn't really have time to do. Mm-hmm. And I think it was exactly about the same month, exactly last year.
Yeah.
So, it was really too much to wrap my mind around, not being able to travel to photograph and not being able to travel to do art shows and having everyone at home, homeschooling, and my husband is here. And so it was a life that I had to get used to. So I actually took a Kundalini teacher training course.
I remember you telling that me kept about me that.
Yeah, I had just graduated, I think. That kept me occupied for a while, and then I got into gardening, and I got into all kinds of cool projects. I writing poetry. It was a very beautiful, productive time of my life. And then it started to go down from there, you know? Mm-hmm. there's only so much of that you can do. So I started thinking, time for me to find a space where I could go to. And escape, pretty much. I needed to go and be somewhere by myself. So I'm like, aha, how about you get a yurt, Safa? So I literally went on Google and typed in yurts near me.
Serious? And, yurts near me.
Oh, I'm so serious. So this company, Lotus Bell, they sell these cool looking tents. And they happen to be in Topanga Canyon, their office. So I said, wow, that's
a
sign.
Which is where you are, right?
Which is where I am in LA, this area in the mountains of Santa Monica Mountains called Topanga Canyon. So I said, wow, they're right here. So maybe I could call them and see if I can come in and look at the tent myself. Because, you know, I didn't really have a feeling of how it would feel like. Or they will just tell you the diameter, but you don't really know how big it is. Or so I called them and I said, do you mind if I come in and look at the tent? They said, no, because of COVID we are closing and we're running the company out of San Francisco, but we can send you whatever you want, we'll ship it to you in 3 days. I said, done, here's my card, let's do this.
Wow.
So got the tent. I was actually in Florida when the tent arrived.
You were down here?
Yes, I was down here because I remember my gardener set it up for me, and I came home and it was all set up. So he took videos of it set up. So when I came back from Florida, the tent was set up, and I'm thinking, this thing is on the ground. If it starts to rain, this is not going to be a good idea. So I had the person who helps me get all this work done around the house, you know, my artist, actually. I had him build me a platform, and then we ran electricity. So now you can charge your phone, you can listen to music, you can have like night lights, and then it starts to grow and grow. And funny enough, my sister in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, she used to have a Moroccan store long time ago, I think 2008 or 2007. And she kept all of the, she closed down the store, but she kept all of her most beautiful items that she didn't really want to sell to anyone because either they were, you know, really expensive or a lot of, they were handmade or you couldn't go, you couldn't get another one. So when I was in Florida, she said, you know what, Safa, why don't you take all this stuff? It's just here in storage. You could take it and you could put it in the tent. I said, sure, let's load up a pods container, ship this stuff to California. And anyway, so when I came here, started decorating it. And then I had so much fun creating the space. Now, the idea was never to share it with anyone. It was literally my own escape. So I would come here. I would read books. I would write poetry.
Practice
I would do
yoga,
my Kundalini
probably.
Yoga. I did all. It was my space. And funny, I wouldn't park my car on the driveway by the garage. I would move the car sort of by the trail so no one would even know I'm home.
Oh, my God.
So, and I will close the tent, and they will think, oh, she just went to the grocery store or something. And I will just stay here. And when I went home, I felt, when I went back inside the house, I felt so recharged. I'm like, okay, let's make dinner. Okay, let's hang out or, you know, let's play the games. It was literally like you took me and you charged me like a phone. It was just beautiful. And I didn't realize the energy here was just so potent. And then a couple nights we decided to sleep here. And it was just the most magical experience. It really was something so beautiful. Or outdoors, we got a hammock. And when this was about maybe September. And LA was still not opening up. I mean, it seemed like the whole country was opening back. And we're still on a shutdown. Restaurants were closing. There was no business. It was very scary time for us, especially financially. So it came to a point where we're like, okay, there is no way we can stay here and not work. So A, we either have to go to Florida, figure things out, or go to Morocco. My husband had a really good business opportunity there. He said, well, Safa, you know, we can go back to your country and, you know, there I have a lot of opportunities and you can, you know, can reconnect with your family, because LA was shut down still. The whole country was opening back up and LA was still closing. So it was a really difficult time for people who were living in California. Everyone was leaving California. People were moving to Texas. People were moving to Florida. People were really struggling financially because there was no work. And there's only so much you can go through, you know, your savings. At one point, you just have to figure out how to generate an income. So the one big opportunity for us was to move to Morocco and, you know, try to make it work. But we had to put the house on the market, and, you know, and that was really, really tough for me because it's a place that I created, you know, and I felt, I just felt there is a deeper relationship to me and this home than just owning a home. Right. It was more than that. And having to put my kids in another school in Morocco. And this sudden move, it was just like really shockingly sudden. I have to take the kids out of the school in the middle of the year and figure things out. And this tent that I just created and the house and the views and my garden and my bees and my dog having this room to run around. All of a sudden I had to say goodbye to all that. And I said, you know, maybe there is a lesson in this. There has to be a lesson in this. So let's just go with the flow, Safa. Go with where the wind takes you and see what happens. So, yeah, I packed the whole house. My friend Leslie, I think when I met you in Florida.
What, is she
was
your
doing
friend
the art
Fort
show
Lauderdale?
With me.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. one of my dearest friends. She actually flew in here and she helped me pack. She originally helped when we first moved to California 3 years ago. So she came back and she said, I'm going to take your sadness away, basically. And she did. She flew here for a long weekend. She helped me pack everything. We left the house sort of staged for the showings, but basically all my personal belongings were in a pod storage container outside, and we just slept because I didn't know what we were going to do with that container. Is it going to go across the sea to Morocco? Is it going to end up in a storage in Florida? It was one of those very, very ungrounding times. I had no idea, but I trusted that there is a process. I just trusted. So we moved there. The kids started the new school. It was the American International School. You know, my husband was working a lot. I was just trying to think, okay, where is the lesson in this? What am I supposed to know? What am I supposed to do? And, you know, for a while, it was a lot of silence and it was a lot of like reflecting and thinking and spending time alone and really trying to figure out what's the next step, what's the next step. And then things around me started to not work. The kids started to really hate the school. And I just had this feeling like, this is not going to work out.
Right.
So decided to move back. I mean, it was really hard for me to make friends there. It was really hard for the kids to make friends. I was also going through a really tough depression. And it was sort of necessary. At the end, I found out that it was necessary because when I came back, I bloomed so much after that. And I feel like all this creation sort of happened like, you know, like they say in French, après la pluie, le beau temps. Always after the rain comes the springtime, you know, and the flowers are blooming. And I went through the rainy period of my life. And you know, this is something I've struggled with my whole life, but I learned to embrace it. I really learned how it's a cycle of life. And if you're somebody who's attuned with nature, this is going to happen. It's not always the la belle vie, you know, it's not always sunshines and little birds walking on your tent when you're about to do a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, you have to go through the cycles of life. And that's really when you grow. That's when you learn your most important life lessons. I've learned my most important life lessons in those periods because I ask questions.
Right.
And I really listen to the deeper version of the story, not just the surface. And I was able to heal a lot and to move forward with a lot of things. And I come out of it as this incredible creator. Like, what can we create now? What photo can we do now?
Right.
You know, and it's so amazing having to experience both dualities. There is a balance that happens. And now it just becomes like, okay, it is depression time. Let's go deep.
Let me ask you this though, because this is one of the things that has been crossing my mind a lot lately, because I've also had periods of depression in my life. And you know, in our culture, we medicate it. But for me, in hindsight, a lot of the times I was most depressed was when I was somewhere where I didn't belong in my life, either in a relationship I didn't belong in, a job I didn't belong in, you know. And to me, that feeling is a signal that, you know, something's not right. You need to do something. Some kind of change needs to take place. So would you say that that's accurate for what you experienced?
Absolutely. Because my heart belongs in Topanga Canyon. I knew that the very first day I came to this place. I knew that when I moved here. I know that today. I will always know that. And it's a very special place spiritually. Yeah. And it's very pure. It's just pure. And we're very lucky to be able to live here. But when I went to Morocco, and this is really where I'm from. I grew up there. I am Moroccan.
That's what I thought about when you said you had trouble making friends. In my mind, I'm thinking, didn't you grow up there?
It's not the language. It's not the time. I had so much time, and I spoke the language. But it was just, I had this one friend that I spoke to all the time because she actually went to medical school in the U.S., and then she moved back to Morocco. So there was a certain understanding of what I was going through. You know, she used to live in Miami when she lived here, or Boca Raton, I think. But it was really difficult for me to get my ideas across without being misunderstood or without somebody really. And I'm such an introvert too, so I already don't go out and don't socialize and I pick my friends really wisely. So that didn't really make it easy. The quarantine part was not as strict as LA. So going out was not an issue. It was just, who do you go out with? Who do you talk to? But it did, like you said, it did feel like I did not belong. And I was trying to do this for the family. I was trying to make it work because this is what we do for each other.
Right.
And I remember every day I would just look at kayak.com, tickets from Casablanca to LAX. Wow. You know, just when am I going to do that click book now? You know, when? Yeah. Is it today? Is it next week? Is it? So one day when I knew it wasn't the right thing for me, I just, you know, told my husband, okay, it's not the right thing for me. I think I need to go back to California and we need to figure it out. And
so
this is not going to
work.
Can
I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I'm just imagining your husband being your husband, like, so you pick up from LA and you move to Morocco. And then how long were you in Morocco?
I was there for 6 weeks. Were there for 3 months because the kids already started school.
Oh, that's right. You know, told me.
He's working. He rented the car. He rented the house. He furnished the house with my sister's help. Like, we were settled. My whole house here was packed. I have the realtor has the keys so they can do showings. And my tent, actually, the tent I did not pack. I did not touch anything. I left it as is. For some reason, I think it's now right. That I think about it, it's quite the sign. Anyway, so he's like, well, we just moved everything out of the house. We just moved our whole life. Now we're going to have to go back. I said, sooner rather than later. Because when I know, you know, my intuition just said, go back home. Anyway, so. You know, God bless his heart. He's like, okay, honey, I'm not going to let you go back alone with the kids and the dog. We're all going back. So I said, when? 2 days from now? He looked at me like, only you, Safa. I said, start packing. Let's get out of here.
Oh, my gosh.
So literally, we packed so fast. I didn't even have time to go and get me, like, usually I get, like, extra Moroccan spices or I'll buy, like, little things. I'm like, we'll buy whatever at the airport. We need to go. Got the dog's health certificate. My poor dog.
Oh, my God.
To deal with this crazy family. It was like, oh, let's move to Morocco. I know you're a puppy of 6 months, golden retriever, but, you know, let's do this because this is what we do.
Wow.
But it was quite the experience and I love spending time with my family and I loved being there in that kind of way, but living there and anchoring myself there was just not for me. It was not for my children. It just didn't feel right. So we came back and guess who came back to help me unpack again? The one and only Leslie.
Wow.
She said, of course I'm going to come. Everyone, all my friends were so happy that I was coming back.
I'm sure.
The light within me just ignited the day I knew I was going back. I became a whole different person. I was like, oh, depression, what? I'm going back. This is so exciting. Yes, we'll deal with two long flights. Yes, we'll deal with luggage. Yes, we'll deal with the dog situation. I will deal with it. We should just need to leave. Wow. So anyway, we got back. My friend came and she helped me unpack. And she said, only you will unpack in the same house twice. Version one.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was hysterical.
Did you put things in different places or did you put everything back where it was before?
No. Do you know what? I went through this huge purge when I was packing. Major. So I literally just kept my most loved items in my house. You know, the books that I can, that are rare, the little stuff that I collected around the world that I could never get back. Everything else I got rid of. Wow. So when I came back, it was such a joy putting every single thing back because it was literally like what brings you joy. Everything that I own right now brings me joy. Mm. It was not none of the nonsense, none of the extra pens and the extra things that I haven't used since I moved here from Florida and all the clothes that I never wore. It was just this detoxing. It was this beautiful life detox. And I felt like I came out of it so clean, you know? So anyway, I started thinking, well, how are we going to start generating income here and being in, staying in this exact house? And then it just hit me. Uh-huh. Safa, this is an amazing thing that you have this tent. And shame on you for wanting to keep it to yourself. Like, this is an extremely healing space for others, just like it was for you when you were escaping there. So why don't you share it with others and open your home and let others come and get it? Okay, let's start with an Instagram page. Okay, let's start putting on an Airbnb. Check. Let's start shooting content. Check. Let's start. And then it's this energy that kept rolling, like the snowball effect. So I would literally think, oh, wouldn't it be so nice to have somebody come and give my guests a massage outdoors when the sun is setting? I will go somewhere and the massage person will happen to be there. Or I will say, this is actually funny. so when the house was empty, people were not really interested in making any offers. No, but we didn't get any offers. It was so random. I came back. I put everything back in. And I'm sure the realtor is like, pictures are back up on the wall. Her clothes are back in the closet. Everything is back. What's the deal here?
Right.
So the energy was back around me, you know, the energy of the house. So we got a cash offer that we could not refuse. You know, I mean, honestly, it would have saved all, it would have solved all my financial problems from here to God knows when. And I looked at my husband and I said, you know what I'm thinking? He said, I know, you're crazy. I said, we're going to have to refuse this. We're going to take the house off the market. And he said, yeah, I think so. So we called the realtor and we said, you know, we're so sorry, but this is our home now. It's not going to be.
Wow.
We're going to keep it. Yeah. And he said, you know what? He said, good for you. You won't find another place like that.
Yeah.
You know, and so like I said, you are thinking about bringing somebody and then they just show up. So the realtor's assistant who has to come and give me back my keys, she looked at me. She said, you know, I love this house. I loved bringing people. When you were here, it always smelled like candles. You always had music playing, even if you were not there. You just was so homey. She said, I would love to. I don't want this to be the last time I come here. And I said, well, guess what? We have a vortex now. So if you want to run away, one day you can come here and you know, maybe get yourself a massage, or maybe, you know, you could get a Kundalini yoga class with me, or we can do a cooking class outdoors for Moroccan tagines or whatever. And she says, you know, actually what I do? I do sound healing, like gong bat sound healing. I'm like, of course you do, because this is what I wanted to do. So literally stories like that kept happening and happening.
So,
and
you know, that's how we know that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Exactly. And so the more people come over, they stay here. And I have noticed that it only attracts the right kind of energy. It only attracts the right kind of people. And this is random booking on Airbnb. Like, yeah. I haven't once gotten, you know, anybody who just, like, you know, has lower vibration. Everyone here has been, most of the people who stayed have been artists, writers with writer's block. I had people who do work with lucid dreaming, and they come and they, and this woman, this beautiful lady, she said, I had the most incredible dream here last night. And it clarified so many aspects of my life. You know, I had another singer that came, and she said, I wrote a song about my grandfather, and she recorded the song and she shared it on Instagram. You know, I had these two mothers with 9-month-olds, both of them. They came from Texas. They just ran away. Left
oh, my
everyone.
Gosh.
And you know, I had this other people here do a photo shoot for this beauty product from Gabon, this Moabi butter, which is like shea butter, like all natural. And it's, you know, it just, you see these people, they're so happy, and you can see them in their ultimate momentum of creativity. Like, they come here and they create, and this is exactly what I wanted this place to be. I want it to be this sacred space that you can come to and you can retreat and, you know, just reconnect with that where the magic is, you know, that place where the magic is. And and I feel like it's been doing exactly what it needs to do for exactly the right type of people.
Sounds incredible. So talk about the vortex.
I'm meeting all these amazing Okay, so the vortex, because I felt like everybody who comes here, this is way before I started renting it. Everyone who comes to visit me, they will walk in, you know, they will unzip the tent and walk in, and they will all have the same reaction. And they will say to me, oh my God, we just feel like we are in 1001 nights, or we will feel like we are in Marrakesh, or we will feel, we forget where we are. We just go in and it's like, you know? And then I kept getting the same feedback from everyone. And some people would come and they would be having the worst day. They would go in and they're just like, oh, this feels so nice. So later on, I didn't really put A and B together, but this whole area where I live has these incredible crystals that are under the ground. So when it rains, they come up to surface and you can see them. They're clear and all types of shapes and sizes, right? So the whole area where the tent is full of crystals that have been there for thousands and thousands of years.
What kind of crystals are we talking about?
You know, I would love if any of the listeners will go and see the post. There is a post where I posted the crystals. I think, I'm not sure if it's quartz or selenite.
Okay.
Because I'm not an expert when it comes to this.
You should get a geologist out there.
I need to just post it and you know, post a story about it and just get people to write me feedback.
Yeah.
Because I would love to know what it is. So sometimes I'll just give the little crystals that I found as gifts to my guests when they leave. I'll just give them a little remember me.
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of times when I travel places, I'll bring back rocks. I'll grab a couple rocks, and I have in the entryway in my home, I have what was a vase for a dozen roses I gave to somebody years ago. And it's full of these rocks from, I mean, there's some from there, from the from the beach nearby where you live there. And
wow.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just something about it. I have them from.
I'm going to send you some in the mail.
That would be great. I would love that.
I'm going to send you a good
one. Well, I want to come.
I know how you love receiving snail mail.
How did you know that?
I don't know. I just know you. I've been following you for, what, 2 years now?
Oh, I guess I do post stuff on Instagram. I feel bad because one of the guys I had on the podcast not all that long ago sent me a signed copy of his newest book, and I haven't posted about it yet. But that's, anyway. So
basically, when you are in the tent, you literally are sandwiched between this floor of amazing crystals and the stars in the sky.
Yeah. And you're in the mountains.
Going all night long. No wonder cool stuff is going to happen to you. And this is not something I created. It literally was there.
Right.
And it couldn't have been any more.
And somebody even erect the tent. Somebody did it for you. They just chose the spot and put it there, right?
Most of my area is on the ridge. Most of my land is on the ridge. So I have very limited flat land to put in like that in.
So there weren't a lot of options.
Yeah, but I didn't really think, I'm going to put it in this area where I know there's crystal. I didn't really think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Until later on, I'm like, what? Why is this place so intense in a good way? You know, these crystals have been charged by the full moon and the new moon, and God knows what happened, you know, forever. And if you can connect, you receive it. And I feel like it really only attracts the right kind of guests.
Okay, so how many people can it accommodate?
I would say a couple, like one couple, yeah. But here's the thing. We don't have a restroom or shower situation. We want to build an outdoor shower. But the problem is we've been slammed with bookings that I can't even have construction going on at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
So I give my guests access to my garage, and they use my guest bathroom downstairs. But everyone knows that there is no shower yet. So I'm going to put a really cool outdoor shower with a view of the mountains.
Oh, yeah. You know what
I can already see it.
You need to do the bathtub over.
Two
bathtubs next to each other.
Absolutely.
That's,
yeah. Well, I looked into these copper bathtubs, like these freestanding copper bathtubs, because I have this area where you can watch the sunset. And since I'm an herbalist too, I don't know, one of my many... one of my many trades, we can offer our guests herbal baths at sunset time, you know. So this is all ideas that I'm not really supposed to be talking about on a
podcast. Why?
I'm just kidding. But this probably would make everyone help me manifest it soon.
You know?
All these listeners can just visualize it for me.
It came to be, didn't it?
Yeah, it came to be. And I call it the vortex because... It's the short thing, you know, it's the short term, but it's her escape vortex because I felt like, and then I get people like, well, why is it her escape vortex? I'm like, her is me. Her is the Shakti. Her is the female energy. Her is the creative energy. Her, it's not, you know, I'm not being sexist, but this is the energy that is related to creativity, to inspiration, to the moon. All of these topics are a female energy.
Yeah. Wow. So what would you like to say about the cost, what you charge for this?
Well, right now we charge about between $300 and $350 per night.
Okay.
And that if there is any, let's just say, any extra activities, we offer Moroccan. Actually, we offer a Berber tagine cooking class outdoors with me. And we eat the tagine at sunset outdoors. We cook it outdoors on slow heat, on charcoal. So it takes about 3 hours. and it comes with a wine, a pairing, and then people get to experience what it is to cook in a clay. Most of the tagines are vegetarian. And that's really the way we grew up. I spent a lot of my time growing up in the Atlas Mountains. And it reminds me a lot of Topanga. Maybe this is why I got attracted to living here. So a lot of the time when I was a kid and we would go there for the summers, every summer, I spent pretty much all my summer there. And there was no electricity, so the house was running on solar, which means we can only have a television for 1 hour a day. And we just played on the lake and we made clay things from the clay. And then we got food from the garden. You only eat what you grow. My uncle used to go to the market, the weekly market, every Wednesday. So he will get stuff that we need for the week. But if we run out, we have to just figure out what we're going to do for the rest of the week. Yeah. And it was such a learning. It was such an amazing learning experience for me. And I feel like everything right now gets revived by this. So I sort of want to share what my childhood, a little bit of my childhood with people here, okay. You know, because it was very healing. And so that's why I added the cooking, the Berber cooking classes. Berbers are the indigenous tribes who lived in North Africa.
Right.
And they lived in the Atlas Mountains mainly. So growing up, when I went there, people only spoke Berber in those villages.
Wow.
So, yeah. And
so I will add just for context for the listeners, if you've ever had to book like a, not a great hotel room, but a decent hotel room in LA in a decent area at all, you're going to spend that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean,
for
like sure. Here where I am, that's a little on the pricier side, you know, resort, high-end resort during season is probably right around there. But for out there, I mean, that's like a Hampton Inn for a night.
Yeah, but you know, we did start at 200, right? And then I was getting slammed and I said, maybe raise the price up. So we went up to 250 and then people were like even wanting to book two nights. And some people are like, we don't care if there is no shower. We'll do a sponge bath. Just let us come and stay. Oh. I guess the reviews were that I was getting initially were so genuine and right on. I mean, sometimes I would find thank you notes because right now I'm, you know, the only person running this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm at a point where I need help. So I do the housekeeping. I do the social media. I do the front desk. I do the cooking, go into the groceries. What do my guests need? So sometimes when I have to go and, you know, clean up and smudge, I would find the sweetest thank you notes. And people were, and you just can feel how genuine people are grateful.
Do you have a guest book for them? You should have a guest
book. I do. I have a gratitude book by the bed. So people just write what they're grateful for. And now I am going through, I love vintage markets. Mm-hmm. So I've been going to vintage market and collecting like old love letters from like 1906 or like, I found these incredible treasures, right? So I want to make a little, or like old art photos of, you know, women or tribes or really just cool stuff, cool little things. So I want to make a little book and of things that I love and just leave it there for people to enjoy it. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, one of the things that strikes me about this is that you, just being able to be around you, it has to be such a significant part of this experience that is meaningful for people.
That's so sweet you said that. That's actually, a lot of times people are like, Safal, why don't you just come and hang out with us and we'll have Moroccan tea and we can do like tarot cards. And I end up just hanging out with my guests. I'm like, you guys, like, were you paid to be here alone? Like, you don't want the hostess to come and hang out. No. They said, just come and hang out. Let's have this beautiful conversation. And we end up having some really deep conversations, around like a candle or just herbs that happen to be there, and people release, and there's a lot of release that happens. And so I love when those moments pop. You know, sometimes I will get a couple that want just like, you know, it's privacy, and it's just, so it just depends. But a lot of times when it's women only, or a lot of artists that come to create, they just want to chat.
Yeah.
And we end up chatting about some of the things, probably like the topics on your podcast. Mm. Just really deep, nice conversations.
I have a question for you about this.
Yes.
Do you know whose tribal land it's on?
You know, I know it's Native American because Topanga, the word Topanga, means where the mountains meet the sea.
Okay.
But I'm not, I have to do some digging and some research.
Well, it's pretty easy. If I can track down, there's like a number you can text your zip code and it'll immediately give you a message telling you whose land it was so you can acknowledge.
Oh, I would love if you yeah. find it. Just well,
I'll help
it
you
to
with
me.
That. Yeah, it's easy. I it was where I am. I wanted to do that for the website. It's something that every time I travel, I'm always curious about and want to know before I go to a place, and it's just always been on my heart.
Yeah.
So. I made a point on my website to acknowledge that here it's where I am. You know, it's just a group called the Yega, who you wouldn't even know about unless you lived here and probably, you know, if you studied Florida history. But, you know, when Europeans first made contact here, all the disease, you know, so many tribal members died, and then eventually what ended up happening is the remnants of these tribes all joined and eventually became what is known, along with some runaway slaves, as the Seminole tribe.
Yeah.
It's like it's an amalgamation of all these different tribes.
You know, it's interesting because all of this comes back to what I do. The circle is completed right now. No, yeah. I don't know if it's completed yet, but it's coming back to circle because Instagram's algorithm has pushed my account to all the people who do healing. They do, all kinds of ceremonies. They do dancing under the moon. They do just these really cool concepts.
You should have somebody do a sweat lodge there. That would be cool.
Oh, we would love that. Yeah. So anyway, all of these people start coming up on my account and accepting and following me. So a lot of them, some of them actually, are tribes that live in LA. Mm-hmm. And they do this work, this tribal healing from Los Angeles. And here I am saying, Safa, you thought you were in a lockdown and you thought you can travel to these places like Brazil and Papua New Guinea and all these things on my list. But look, they're all here and they wanted to come here and do a ceremony at your place. How wild is that?
Have you had that happen?
Yes, so there's a lot of things that will be coming up. So stay tuned because I can't even keep up with the content. Like I'm literally like shooting things all day that I don't even have time to put them on Instagram because I'm busy running around like a...
Well, you know, you asked me if I wanted some photos. I thought maybe you'd send me 3 or 4. You sent me like, what, 50 photos? I mean...
I know! I mean, and this is just this stuff that's been published on Instagram. I mean, I have a whole folder on my phone of just things that to be shared. You know, and sometimes, like I said, sometimes I would wake up and I would literally listen to hear a sage plant, for example, right? Sage is calling. So I'll go for a hike with my dog and there is wild sage growing everywhere. I'm like, okay, Safai, you need to take photos of all kinds of sage and varieties and do a post about it where you actually explain the energy of the plant and also the physical component as well as the energy, the power of the plant energetically. So I will do a post like that and I would just get a book to help me, you know, help me write it. I'll open the book and it's like the sage page. I'm like, okay, I get it.
Right.
just wild stuff. So a lot of it is not just staying here. A lot people can't always come and stay here, but I want them to feel like they are staying here just through the platform, you know? So I want to share everything that we do. If I make a homemade incense, like I made it, like I would like to share the recipe. If sometimes the recipe comes from my ancestors, sometimes it's a Berber thing, sometimes. So I feel like bringing that into the content part and sharing that to all those who are like, oh, I wish I could go, but I can't travel, or I wish I could go. And I know one day it's going to be on my Pinterest board because I'm going to manifest coming here one day. So just putting it out there, it's not beneficial only for people who are here physically, but I want the energy to travel to the country.
Looking forward to sharing the next part of this conversation with you guys. She's a lot of fun. I'm lucky to have her in my life. So, please leave a rating or a review at Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, wherever you choose to listen. You can subscribe, follow, whatever they'll allow you to do at Amazon, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Listen Notes, Overcast, Pandora, Patreon, Podbay, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Public, Spotify, Stitcher, and YouTube. Every little bit of support helps. If you have questions or comments, you can call and leave a message at 561-247-4757. Love to hear from you guys, whether it's via voice message or email. You can email the show at thepathtoauthenticity@gmail.com. I'd love to be able to start doing the intros with some interaction with the audience included. So, you know, if you have feedback, you have stories you want to share with the community here, please do. It's welcome. I want to thank the band Punk Rock Opera, whose music you hear throughout the show. Their songs are used with permission from the artist and under a Creative Commons license. For early access to the newest episodes, as well as unedited interviews, you can support the show on Patreon. That's patreon.com/thepathtoauthenticity. This interview with Safa, the whole thing, I uploaded it to Patreon as soon as I was finished with it. So you get that added content. I do a little Saturday episode for patrons. And as soon as this completed episode is finished, I will upload that to Patreon as well. So this being a two-part episode, one of them will be up at least a week before it comes out publicly. So it's just a way for me to be able to get a little support. I really want to be able to spend more time doing this kind of work. And again, every little bit helps. So what I've been doing with the Patreon money thus far that I've been able to accumulate, I've bought a new microphone, I've upgraded equipment, I've promoted some of the episodes on Facebook. You know, I'm putting it back into the show, trying to improve this thing. So again, for as little as a dollar a month, you can gain access to all this supplemental content. Anyway, I want to thank our sponsors, The Manor and Windrose Recovery. Thank you to Wendy Chin at Equivox for digital support. She's done a marvelous job on the website, which you can visit at thepathtoauthenticity.com. If you like this episode, please share it with somebody. I try to make it really easy to do that on the website. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. We have playlists on Spotify. So thanks again to Safa. And, you know, I also want to say I realize it's an investment of time to listen to this podcast. And there are plenty of options out there. Lots of great TV, lots of great podcasts, audiobooks. Like me, you can be on Clubhouse. Lots of things you could be doing. So I'm really grateful that you choose to spend the time to listen to The Path to Authenticity. So thank you. I hope you have a great week. Be nice.
Player.
The Path to Authenticity is powered by Equivox. For digital marketing and web design services, visit equivox.com.